PM on Thursday, January 28, 2016. Members present, we have Representative Ortiz, Co-Chair Representative Hughes, Representative Nagyak, and Representative Suits. Well, I think I've got everybody. Before us today, we have House Concurrent Resolution 17, which is support aviation industry, use state land, sponsored by our co-chair, Representative Hughes. And so I'd like to give Representative Hughes or her staff the opportunity to say a few words before, or if you've got any words, and then allow the staff to present the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. My staff, Ginger Blaisdell, will present the resolution. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Ginger, if you could please proceed.
All right. Thank you. For the record, my name is Ginger Blaisdell. I'm staff to Representative Hughes, and I also staff the Legislative Task Force on Unmanned Aircraft Systems. And House Concurrent Resolution 17 is a product from the task force that is in support of unmanned aircraft systems companies, manufacturers, and basically the industry to be able to utilize state lands for some of their research, testing, training, and just general operations for unmanned aircraft. And as you'll see in some of the whereas statements in the resolution, some of these came from Senator Lisa Murkowski's website, where she got some great statistics about just the land mass that's available. An enormous resource that's not being utilized for this industry, because we have so much land that is basically unpopulated or very low risk for these kinds of flights. And the second part of some of the statistics came from the FAA's federal budget and some of the kind things they say about Alaska and really promoting this industry. So the task force feels that putting this resolution before the legislature hopefully will encourage state agencies to allow industry to use state lands for the purposes of growing economic benefits for Alaska.
Do we have any questions from the committee?
Mr. Chairman.
Sure, Representative Ortiz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So, Ginger, if this particular HCR 17 was passed, what would be the net effect? What are we trying to do? What is it specifically that we're trying to do here?
Through the chair, Representative Ortiz. We have one individual online who has been working with a state agency in order to basically secure a little bit of land space so that he can fly drones. And basically be able to fly them uninhibited by other structures and highly populated areas. And so he's really mastering his skill, but using state lands, and he entered into, I don't know if it's a memorandum of agreement or a contractual agreement with a state agency to use that land. And he might be able to better describe that for you. But what we're finding is that some state agencies don't know the opportunities that may be out there. And so they could enter into a contract, make land available to a manufacturer or a drone, a pilot, you know, who's needing some training hours. And it might just be able to bring some economic benefit to Alaska.
Representative Stutz, and then Co-Chair Hughes.
Thank you. On that point, is space more limited, or are there parameters that are guiding these drones where you can and cannot use them?
Through the chair, for unmanned aircraft systems to fly right now, hobbyists have a fairly open range where they can fly within very specific parameters, but only for recreational purposes. So they can fly just about anywhere except not within a certain, within about 5 miles of an airport. If you're a commercial user and you have an FAA exemption, you are allowed to fly your drone for commercial purposes. And those give you a little bit, well, depending on what your project is, might give you more latitude in where you can fly. And so we want to make sure that we're really allowing for commercial flyers to be able to use state lands and use some of those, some of our airspace, really.
So this resolution is directed at commercial as opposed to private individuals and their drones. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Representative, that is correct. Yes. Okay,
thank you.
Mm-hmm. We've got Representative Hughes and then Nagyak.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to add a little bit to of course, it's a resolution, so it's not binding. But the task force, part of their duty that was assigned to us legislatively was that we encourage the development of the private sector unmanned aircraft industry. So this is in response to that. And we realized that 20% of the state of Alaska is state lands. And when you consider the whole nation, that's 5% of the United States is Alaska state lands. And 5% of our entire country, if we could offer that space to industry, whether it's local businesses trying to get started up, or whether it's national or even global businesses, we could really get a better slice of the economic pie in this new emerging industry. So that was kind of the thinking, and to remove some of the barriers and the hoops and just have the state be open and accommodating to help make this happen. And so I just want to make that really is the basis, I believe, of this resolution. I hope that's helpful to the members.
Thank you. We've got Representative Nagyak.
Alaska is an aviation state. Thousands and thousands of private airplanes, and they're all over the place, and you fly, they fly in and out of small towns or in big cities. I mean, I go to Fairbanks and I go down to by the Chino River, and there's a house down there along the river, and they have their own private little airstrip, and they fly in and out of their home. And so, the concern is with the drones on how it's going to be regulated, because I just want to make sure that safety is of the utmost concern because of all the private airplanes that individuals have. I know that I have a friend down in the valley who in Anchorage or in the vicinity who has a big home and airstrip right there, and it has a hangar right in his property, and I know they go flying all the time. So it just kind of, when people see a place where it's inhibited by trees and power lines and all that stuff, people kind of gravitate towards that kind of area to go do their thing. That's my concern, and I think we should work with the industry to make sure that those are, that we have rules and regs on where do's and don'ts. So I just kind of concerned because there's so many planes in Alaska, and we need to have some sort of a working relationship between enthusiasts of drones and people who fly. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. We've got Representative Ortiz and then Stoops.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. These a little bit along the lines of what Representative Nagyak was saying, but this is, I have a question, and the question is, you mentioned that right now the FAA grants privileges to commercial companies to do their operations of unmanned aircraft. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
So if we were to move in this direction of what the resolution is calling for, would the FAA still remain the group that's monitoring and managing this particular industry?
Yes, through the chair, Representative Ortiz. There's one thing that's very important to identify, that this does specify the commercial operators. And for you to operate as a commercial unmanned aircraft systems business right now, is you have to get an exemption. It's called a Section 333 exemption from the FAA. In order to get that exemption, you have to have a pilot, you have to have ground crew, you have to have your aircraft certified. It's a lot of rules and a lot of paperwork to be basically given this exemption to be a commercial pilot. What comes with that, which might calm some of your concerns as well, Representative Nagyak, is that they have to put out a NOTAM, which is a notice to airmen. And so when they're a commercial flight, even though it might be a very small piece of equipment that's flying, they will put out a notice to airmen, and so anyone flying can go out, quickly look at the website, see who's flying, where they're flying, and they can avoid each other in that particular circumstance. So these are actual certified pilots or licensed pilots that are flying, even though they are unmanned aircraft. They do have all of those safety parameters that they live within, and the FAA does oversee their operations, so they're gonna, all of their operations are approved by the FAA.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We've got Representative Stutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to regress a little bit here because I'm looking at the title of this resolution, and I've read it three or four times, and it doesn't, at least I don't interpret it to exclude the private sector. Mm-hmm. So, and obviously that was the intent of this resolution. So I'm thinking that you somehow might want to reconsider or somehow include that this is not going to be available for the private sector, because I think right now it's a little bit misleading. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Representative Hughes?
Mr. Chair, would you allow me the leeway to ask Representative Stutes a question, because I need to have that clarified so no, I understand. And just so you understand, in case this is to allow private sector commercial planes or to encourage them to be able to be over state-owned property, so we're not asking private property owners anything. So can you clarify what you're thinking?
I was under the impression, and maybe wrongly so, that this is going to address commercial users of the drone, correct? And aren't there a lot of private individuals that have drones that use them, and this is supposed to be exclusionary to them, is that correct? So private drone owners may not use this property that you're looking to use for commercial enterprises with drones. Mm-hmm. And as I interpret this statement, it doesn't, in the way I read it, it doesn't exclude me from taking my drone and going out there and using that property.
Mm-hmm. Through the chair, Representative Stutes, I think if you look on page 2, where it says, be it resolved, is that the legislature supports the economic growth of the unmanned aircraft systems industry. And so this is where we're really focusing on commercial, the commercial aspect of drone use. Right now, under FAA rules, hobbyists or recreational use is not governed. There are guidelines out there for safe flying and, you know, stay away from airports, stay away from dangerous situations, but they actually don't regulate anything at this point. And so our resolution is really based on the industry aspect, because they do have much tighter restrictions. As far as the actual title of the resolution, the title is comes about through Alleged Legal. And so they create the actual words that go into the title. And I can certainly ask Alleged Legal if there's something else that might clarify that a little bit better.
Follow up,
And then Representative Hughes.
Thank you.
But the intent of this, if I'm understanding it correctly, is to exclude that. Is that correct? The personal, private use of their drones.
Mm-hmm. Representative Foster and Representative Stutes, there's no exclusion language in the resolution. And so hobbyists can fly wherever, kind of wherever they choose, within very specific limits. So they can't fly within the boundaries of an airport. They can't fly over large crowds. They have, you know, few guidelines.
Okay, but
they can fly on state land as a hobbyist.
Okay, that was my question.
Yeah.
As state landowners, I can take my little drone out there and start her up.
Yes, you can.
Okay, well, I didn't, when we first spoke, I was of the opposite impression. So have you clarified it for me then? Thank you.
Mm-hmm. We've got Representative Hughes and then Representative Magyar.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On that point, the term unmanned aircraft system industry is being used as a term in general in our country anyway, and maybe around the world, applying to commercial industry. Typically, it'll say unmanned aircraft system recreational. It'll use recreational or the word hobbyist. So this resolution is as far as it is addressing just the commercial users. So that industry word, you might think that includes both the hobbyist and commercial, but typically it's being used just for commercial, and that's the way it's being used here. I hope that helps a little bit. In that point, and Mr. Chair, although it does not pertain to this resolution, I have to, just because our task force is the kind of the sole entity in the state involved with this, to use this opportunity to educate the public that if they are using a recreational or hobby UAS, that they go to the alaskadrones.org website, where we have the recommended guidelines, and that goes back to what was stated earlier about the safety, the aviation safety aspect with all the manned aircraft we have in the state. We certainly don't want there to be any kind of tragedy or incident, and also people on the ground for their safety. We don't want one, you know, flying over crowds and things. So that is a whole separate issue than what we're talking today, but I did thank you, Mr. Chair, for allowing me to mention that the private users need to check those guidelines. They also are required now to register with the FAA. Thank you.
You got Representative Magyar.
To make it much clearer, I think I would offer an amendment to make it that to the commercial aircraft systems industry, to make it much clearer, since we're focusing on the commercial aspects of this. And so I would offer an amendment to that effect, to the commercial unmanned aircraft systems industry.
I think what we want to do is, normally amendments would come later after we do public testimony and take all the input in from the committee.
Okay.
So you may want to have some input, I think, maybe on that too.
I thought we were told that we could, you know, offer amendments.
Normally the amendments would come right before we pass out the bill, so we'll get all the input from everybody, get all the public testimony in, and then we'll do the amendments. And I think what we're intending to do also is we're going to hold this bill or this resolution over until probably the next meeting. So I think maybe you could do like a conceptual or at least let folks know and then work with Representative.
I'll just leave that to you. I'm concerned about that, the title. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about two different things. We're talking about the enthusiasts. Like me, I don't know how it's gone anyway, but commercial aspects of it, what you were talking about, Representative Hughes. Thank you.
We've got Representative Ortiz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So there's the concern about the safety aspects of this, but there's also one of the things that comes along with with commercial development of unmanned aircraft systems are potential privacy issues for private property owners, et cetera. You know, just off the top of my head, you know, whether we're talking to insurance companies that are using unmanned craft, et cetera, et cetera. So the question is, if we were to move in this direction with this resolution and move towards a more active, you know, trying to entice industry, would there be some potential sacrifices over privacy for privacy concerns?
Through the chair, Representative Ortiz. I think one of the beauties of flying over state land is that there would be much less concern for individual privacy. And so that's why we're looking at state land as being an opportunity for Alaska to really hopefully beef up the economics of this particular industry. As far as the privacy part goes, if I can put in the next plug, we did develop a guidelines that includes safety and privacy. And those guidelines are also out on alaskadrones.org. And they've received national attention, and we're one of the first states to actually put something out regarding personal privacy. And so we're pretty proud of that particular document and happy to share that with you.
Well, thank you very much for that. Mm-hmm.
At this point, testify. So I'm going to go and open up public testimony. And we've got first here Steve Rakowski.
Hi, Ed.
Thank you.
Sure. I just want to thank you, Representative Foster, Representative Hughes, for the time to testify today. My name is Steve Rakowski. I'm the industry representative on Alaska's Unmanned Systems Task Force, and I am also the operations manager of an airborne remote sensing or drone company called Tuliguk, which is Inupiaq for Raven. It's a joint venture between Fairweather Science and Anchorage, Illuminate Corporation out of Wainwright, and Tektrovik Inupiaq Corporation out of Tektrovik. I just want to give a quick thanks to all the hard work that Representative Hughes and Ginger put into this. From an industry perspective, it sends a very strong signal to folks like myself and some of our vendors that Alaska is open for business, and that we're here to give back to the Alaska economy and provide jobs. I guess I should mention in my company's 3.5-year history, we've conducted a couple major UAS operations in the Arctic, and Representative Nagyev will be happy to know that we conducted a month-and-a-half-long campaign in Wainwright where we were able to hire two locals to help support our operation, and then also do some STEM outreach to the village, the Wainwright Village School. So I feel that, you know, as an industry, we're tied to Alaska. In fact, my company is owned by Alaskan companies and Alaska Native Corporation shareholders. And this sends a strong signal, and we can only hope that, you know, folks like Google, Amazon, and Facebook will look to a place like Alaska to come and provide high-tech jobs and want to open up businesses. I just want to note, I know Representative Ortiz mentioned safety. The federal government still regulates in the airspace, state land, private land, 2 inches above your back lawn in your house. They consider that regulatory, and we have very strict rules in place. For instance, for safety, so we deconflict any sort of airspace immediately and usually don't fly in any sort of vicinity of manned aircraft. Additionally, for our Wainwright operation, we actually had someone stationed at the FAA radar who was watching us the entire time to make sure there was no air traffic in and out of our operations area. And one thing to consider just before I wrap up, I know privacy is a big concern. I just asked the committee to consider that a lot of times these drones don't even carry cameras or spy cameras that you would envision that you've seen on all the bad actors on YouTube. some of these things are used for, you know, shoot down high resolution elevation data. They do synthetic aperture radar to detect ice and changes and you know, fish and game counts. So, this goes beyond your, what you envision as, you know, the $200 hobbyist drone you would pick up at, Alaska House Hobbies. You know, we're talking about commercial operations that get high resolution data, and just a lot of times we have no ambition to be anywhere near people or their houses or near other aircraft, which is why, the chance to operate on, or operate our base of location over state land and the air above it would be a great opportunity. So, again, thank you for the hard work from Ginger, and as the industry representative, I think this sends a really strong signal to folks that may invest in our state and provide these high-tech jobs for us.
Thank you, Mr. Rakowski. Next up, we've got Steve Culligan. Steve, are you there?
I'm online. Can you hear me?
I can. Great. Thank you. If you could just identify yourself and also state your affiliation for the record.
So this is Steve Culligan, and I'm from live in Wasilla. I have a business in Anchorage, and I'm also a member of the task force. I represent the Academy of Model Aeronautics and Hobbyists on the task force, but I'm also a longtime commercial operator in the mapping and geomatic space, as well as have a drone company startup called Precision Flight Devices. I want to thank you for the opportunity to testify, and thank you for last year allowing the Academy of Model Aeronautics to present information to this board that addresses the hobbyist use and adopt the Academy of Model Aeronautics as kind of a best practices for hobbyist use. I also wanted to reach out to the task force and Ginger, being involved in the hobbyist industry and helping out the Academy of Model Aeronautics as a volunteer nationwide. The state of Alaska has taken some serious recognition over the manuals and our kind of proactive approach to safety. At the end of the day, I think we're all well known, not just because of opportunity, but because of our open approach and kind of looking after safety, privacy, and the public. We've had discussions here, I've heard online, you know, privacy versus or private versus hobbyist, or commercial versus hobbyist use. Commercial is really considered meaningful use of the product or device, and this legislation is directed at the hardware side of it, but what's probably more profound is the software that supports that hardware. So in my industry, in the use by engineers, surveyors, public agencies that do measurement, quantification, and other stuff, the software allows you to use these small devices with even such as small as a GoPro camera to develop 3D models and do surveying, quantity takeoffs, environmental monitoring, etc., for within line of sight for a gravel pit or a small area. It has great logistical relief from not having to fly a plane out remotely, etc., flying under clouds. And I think this is really, to me, the point of using public lands to further that, have the ability for agencies and private sector to practice and develop skills. But this stuff is coming. Agencies and every engineering firm in Alaska are already buying, looking at buying, figuring out how to use the hardware, but more so the software to create end user products. And, you know, as a lifelong Alaskan, I have a bit of a nostalgic view of this ever since my dad handed me his brother's 1940 Popular Mechanics, Boy Mechanics book. I get excited every day over all the great technology. While I'm overly excited about technology, I'm a little depressed about the local economy. But I do think in the interim there's opportunity and responsibility to start using this technology to be more efficient and create better products and better data for both the state and the private sector.
Great. Is that your presentation, Mr. Culligan?
That's it, unless there's any questions. But I just wanted to thank you all. Although I know there was discussion over hobbyist use, I think last year we addressed that the hobbyist industry would love to use public lands, just like you create a soccer field when you want kids to be playing soccer in the street. They are looking for opportunities to find safe places to fly. But even so, on the commercial side, developing practice areas for figuring out how to map wetlands and other stuff at small projects, I think, is important to get things moving.
Great. I appreciate your testimony, and I want opportunity to testify. And so I guess, are there any questions of the committee? We do have one more person, but again, I just wanted to make sure that they had the opportunity to testify. So any questions of either of the Steves? Seeing that, we have John Parker online. John?
Yep, so I'm here. Can you hear me? For the record, my name is John Parker. I am an industry member of the UAS Task Force as well. I also own a company called Integrated Robotics here in Kenai, and we're in the process of developing sensor technology for safe operation of the unmanned aircraft in our airspace. And I'd like to thank the committee for allowing me to participate in your hearing today. I support HCR 17 as a beginning to aid industrial development and new technology in Alaska and to help our state move out of reliance on oil and gas, fishing, and tourism as its primary means of economic growth. We hear every day that oil and gas and fishing and tourism, which have been the mainstays of Alaska's economy, have been in a significant downturn. Our state government is currently operating in deficit spending. What needs to happen, I believe, is the state legislature needs to determine if they're going to support one of the fastest growing industries in the United States, an industry that is projected by 2025 to bring billions of dollars into the U.S. economy and create hundreds of thousands of jobs. The Alaska Legislative UAS Task Force was established to promote the safe and legal growth of the UAS industry in Alaska and recommend to the legislature on ways to help industry grow in our state. Alaska possesses some very talented entrepreneurs in this technology sector, some of which you've heard from today, who have been thwarted at every turn in their attempt to grow their respective businesses. I don't blame this on the state, it's just a fact of what's happened as a new industry grows. The Department of Commerce and Community and Economic Development has worked closely with the UAS Task Force to look at ways to promote business development in the UAS sector. One area of growth is through the university system, who have the ability to acquire grant funding for UAS research projects, something that the majority of the UAS commercial industry cannot do. Alaska has more G airspace than I believe the entire rest of the country combined. A great deal of that airspace is state lands and very suited to help the UAS industry grow in our state through research and development, testing and training of UAV platforms and flight crews. I recommend that this resolution be forwarded through our legislature to the governor and that we follow up with his office to expeditiously designate state lands safely suited for commercial U.S. operations for research and development, flight testing, and flight crew training. Again, this is in the commercial area, not the private recreational area. And also to establish criteria for the commercial industry to use state lands based on the conditions currently imposed in FAA's Section 333 exemption process, plus a requirement for liability insurance with a minimum of $1 million per occurrence. While I am in complete support of FAA's safety mission, I believe the state should open dialogue with FAA to streamline the permitting process as it relates to UAS operations on state lands. One area slowing commercial operations are the layers of permits necessary to conduct any flight operations. Commercial operations with an FAA 333 exemption have a 200-foot certificate of authority. It seems logical and practical for the state to obtain a blanket COA for state lands used for commercial operations conducting the aforementioned research and testing and flight crew training. I happen to know that there are commercial industries working in the state of Oregon as of the past week, working directly with their state agencies to obtain contracts to work on state lands for those agencies. And that work is being well received by the state and by those agencies. And finally, one other area that state can help both the industry and the state is to support technology incubators to bring more of this technology into our state. The this could be accomplished through favorable leasing of state lands for incubators, tax incentives, and support of specific vocational programs aimed at building the UAS industry. I'd like to thank you for allowing me to speak in favor of this resolution and hope that you move it forward.
Thank you, Mr. Parker.
Technology incubators,
Yes. They're
operations that support the growth of technology where some of the companies, the emerging companies, don't have the resources to finance their growth. And I'm not talking necessarily about financing the company, but its resources. For instance, a building could be provided for technology companies to use for their research. And then the incubators come in the form of investors that will support that, both for administration to help these companies learn how to build their companies.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Parker. Are there any other questions? So, yeah, I've got a quick question, and maybe Ginger or anybody on the phone who's listening. Just curious, on the 5-mile exclusionary zone around airports, is that a firm number? Because, for example, Nome or any village, I mean, the airport is essentially in the village. And if you wanted to do, for example, a tourism video, you know, with an aerial shot of that community, you technically wouldn't be able to use the drone to get that shot because you're within the 5-mile zone. And even just living in a village, you know, most villages don't have roads that go out 5 miles. So you can't even, I guess, are there exceptions?
Mr. Chairman, this is John Parker. I can speak to that.
Thank you, John Parker. Go ahead.
The 5-mile exclusion is a safety exclusion, but it doesn't completely exclude operations. For instance, one of the areas here in Kenai, there's an aerodrome, AMA-sanctioned aerodrome, and it's within about a mile and a half of the center of the runway in Kenai. To operate there, operators need only to call the tower and notify them that they're operating, what type of aircraft, how many people are there, at what elevation they're going to operate. Of course, we don't want them getting into the terminal airspace. And the pattern altitude, I think, at Kenai is 1,000 feet. But most of these operators, especially in the hobby grade, are only flying at 100 to 150 feet most of the time. So, again, it's a matter of common sense and communication with NOTAMs to other airmen that you're operating in or near that 5-mile exclusionary area.
Thank you. We've got a question from Representative Ortiz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And this could be for anybody out there who might be listening to this, if they're able to weigh in on it. Is there, because the unmanned aircraft industry is relatively new compared to other industries, not only here in the state of Alaska, but of course across the country, has there been any, I have two parts. Can I have two parts of the question? First part of the question, has there been any increase or any in terms of safety? Have we seen an increase in collisions or anything like that with traditional commercial aircraft, et cetera? Has there been any of that to date so far?
I can answer that. Steve Culligan.
Sure, Mr. Culligan.
Yeah, so I think there's been plenty of UFO sightings and people that call in that say they've seen a small unmanned system in more in the hobbyist level than commercial level. I believe there has been some instances, and Steve Witkowski would be most appropriate, maybe on the military side, but in combat, but not in commercial. The reality is that for the millions and millions of these small aircraft that are out there, I don't believe there's been one commercial or a full-size aviation incident or crash with a small unmanned system. But there's been plenty of UFO sightings and people calling into the database. When you look at the FAA's sighting database, it is pretty much all people that have said they've seen one in the air, whether they're a approved commercial operator or a hobbyist acting inappropriately. And as a hobbyist and as a commercial operator, there are boundaries, there are rules, and people need to respect each other's privacy. Doesn't matter if it's a tape in your phone to a broomstick and using it inappropriately or using another device. State laws don't prohibit people from spying or peeping Tom, etc. Doesn't matter the device, it's the activity that's misused.
A follow-up?
And the second part of the question, you were touching on at the very end there, is it kind of a foregone conclusion, or does everybody agree that it's kind of an opportunity cost that as we move in the direction of developing more and more unmanned aircraft capabilities, is an opportunity cost going to be for society a reduction in privacy? Is that just the realization?
I guess you might be able to say it that way, but it's probably more prolific with the cell phone that's in your pocket that can be traced as GPS and has much more of a opportunity for misuse and more prolific use. Unmanned systems for meaningful use, I believe, is a useful tool, but it doesn't matter what technology you're looking at, but my personal opinion is that your smartphone is much more obtrusive and people don't realize what information you're giving out just walking down the hall or down the street.
Thank you for that. Good point.
Are there any further questions of the committee? Is there in the room that would like to testify? Okay. We're going to leave this open to public testimony. Let's see, I also want to make an announcement that on Saturday at 1 p.m., public testimony on HB 249, which I believe that's the tax.
Motor fuel tax.
So testify on that bill, and that will be here in this room this Saturday at 1 p.m. So as I mentioned, I wanted to keep the public testimony open for this bill here that's before us right now. And Representative Magyak, if on that amendment, if you could maybe put something in writing and work
sure.
With the sponsor of the bill on that. And then we'll bring that before the committee at our next meeting. I just wanted to say as a personal note, I've always thought this industry was very interesting, having grown up and building model airplanes when I was a kid, but not really thinking that I would get into this new technology that's out there. But I just noticed something that I think was really interesting to me, and that is a drone that you don't remote control, but you put like a little a tracker in your pocket. It's like what you would get when you go to a restaurant and you're, you know, number 10 in line, and it starts to vibrate when your time is up. And so you put this in your pocket, and what you do is if you go, you know, kayaking down some rapids down a river, or you're out running, or you know, whatever you might be doing, it will actually follow you, and you could set it to, you know, 5 feet above your head or 100 feet above your head, and it takes some great shots. And I just saw this online, and I thought that was really exciting. And so I just see so many. I mean, you know, I think everybody thinks, well, drones are what you control with a little remote control, but there are just so many variations of what's happening, whether it's the hobbyist or commercial, or, you know, different things that you can do with this. And so it's so I'm starting to see some real personal value and just see how it's exploding. So I'm glad to see that you're taking the lead on this and making this something that I think the state can embrace, rather than you know, just focus on some of the concerns that are out there, because there are so many opportunities at the same time too, and we need to work on the concerns, but it's great to see that there are opportunities too. Representative Hughes?
Yes, thank you for letting me allow me to that, just to put on the record too that through this whole process, as we are working to allow the industry opportunities, we have constantly been looking at the privacy issues, and we communicate a lot with the public. We have folks that let us know about situations. We've been having ongoing conversations with law enforcement as far as how to handle these things, and the committee is working on these things pretty much throughout since we were formed. And so, and it's going to be an ongoing concern. We take public testimony at every task force meeting, and I would say privacy is one of the main topics. It will have to be pretty creative because FAA has jurisdiction and does to the, there's controversy how far down to the ground, but FAA thinks it has jurisdiction all the way down to the grass blade in your backyard. And so that makes it a little bit tricky, but I just want to put on the record that this is a top priority for the task force. But at the same time, we want to balance that out and allow, as Steve Culligan mentioned, meaningful use, beneficial use. It can be a wonderful tool in good hands, and so we're trying to make sure it just gets in good hands. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. And with that, we'll be adjourned at 1:52 p.m. Thank you, everybody.